Hello and welcome. My name is Tom.
And I'm Heather.
And you're sitting at the Couples Table.
The Couples Table is a live stream podcast here on this channel. Join us for better or worse.
For richer or poorer.
In sickness and in health.
What seems to be every week now.
Yes.
Yay. Let me check
out. Sorry. I was trying to check audio and I had like a little brain fart there in the
middle. I'm trying to check audio.
Okay. Here. So I'm going to talk while Tom checks the audio level.
I think it's good.
And I think we're good. All right. Hello, everybody. We're excited for today's episode.
Yeah.
For a couple reasons. First of all, today, AHL season kicks off.
Woo!
If you don't know what that means.
Wait. I have the perfect thing for this.
Yeah, I meant to set up my stream deck to add the air horn.
Oh, that's fine.
Stuff. Why did you?
I don't know. It just stopped.
So we're in our drip.
Yeah.
Going to the game tonight. It's going to be real fun.
So that'll be fun.
That'll be fun. But we're also excited to talk about what we're going to talk about.
I am excited.
So you joined an awesome episode. Hello, yes. Everybody. I was going to show my comment. Parker Jennings is checking in 3 p.m. wherever you are. Homesick Mac, 10 p.m. in Sweden. Ooh. Thanks for joining us. Nick, so good to see you. And Jay, hello. So good to see you. And Riopel Room. And Just Kissa. I haven't seen you in so long. How are you? Wow, look at this. JFK, hi. Roger's here. Hockey, yes, thank you.
Heather's hockey fit is fire. It's going to melt the ice, babe.
I'm excited.
Yeah, Nick, we were talking about you because we've been trying to rearrange our living room like all week. And Heather was like, send a photo to Nick.
God,
I was
let
like,
me
no.
Tell you,
I'm sure he
it's
gets.
It's been.
I think it's all right.
Well, yeah. I feel like we've dialed it in.
Yeah.
But. It was a journey, let me tell you. And I have such an appreciation for people who can look at a space and be like, here's, I don't know, the best way.
Yeah.
A way. We had to try every configuration before we, you know,
yes.
Dialed it in. But anyway. Hi, Callum and Cubby. Okay, so if you are tuning into the replay, we're going to do something that I used to do on the YouTube Huddle Up. If anyone remembers that live stream show over on my tutorial channel, it was so much fun. But I did a little replay keyword thing. So we're going to do that with the Couples Table. And
yes.
Tom is going to pick the keyword. So if you're checking out the replay, let us know by leaving a comment with the word.
The fact that your hockey fit is fire is very appropriate because today's keyword is ignite.
Da, 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 da.
And that's because we're going to be talking about stuff on the Kindle and the Kindle Ignite. Yeah. It makes sense.
And like igniting, yes, but ignite. Anyway, so that's the keyword. Let us know that you're
ignite
on the replay.
Yes.
For everyone who's live, what's up?
All right. So before, though, we jump into our topic today, Heather has been working on something that we talked about last week.
Yes. I forgot a word. Wait, the link?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no,
yeah.
Not the, wait, the, I was talking about the mailing list.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The link.
We're very
too.
Organized today.
Yeah. Oh, it's already in the comments. I pinned it. Yeah. Cool. So we had a request since the Couples Table, I think we're going to be every Friday at 1 p.m.
But
I
sometimes
think.
It changes.
But sometimes
last
it
one
changes.
Was on Sunday. Like yeah. Stuff happens.
So we just decided for anyone who wants it, we will send out an email if you want an email notification for when we go live. We'll try to do at least 24 hours in advance.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know if we have like things that come up, fun things. There's the mailing list. So the link, I believe, is a pinned comment. Yeah, you can sign up for it there. And it's actually Tom's mailing list. So
yeah. And if you're already on my mailing list, because I know some of you are.
You'll get the Couples Table tag.
You can just sign up again and then it'll just like it'll put you in the Couples Table group so I can just. When we send stuff out, just select only Couples Table people. So, you know, people who signed up for like info on my course or something aren't like, what?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
Nick said to send him a photo. Now I'm like, honestly a little scared too. I don't know that I. we bought
an interesting piece of furniture. Yeah.
And it is much larger than we expected, and it became sort of the focal point, but it's so nice and it's so comfortable that
yes.
Like we just need to force everything else to work around it because
which is
it
what
makes
we
our lives
do.
So much nicer.
Yeah, we hey Drew, hey Ono Coffee.
Drew.
Yeah. So
there we go.
So there we are.
But you know what? In order to rearrange our living room, we had to get creative. We had to ignite our creativity.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, but are we able to be creative as YouTubers?
You tell me, Tom.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so, because it's just YouTube. It's like anyone could do it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's easy to make videos. Yeah,
like get a real job, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, settled the debate.
There you go. So, okay. I don't even know how we brought this up. Like, why we thought about it as a topic.
You thought of, it was your, I mean, this is something we've talked about for a while, because yeah. it's a good, interesting thing that I think would be relevant to not only us, but to, you know, the group of people who are typically here listening yeah. and watching. It's like, we kind of like these conversations, and it centers around a book that we've talked about on a couple previous episodes. And we kind of wanted to share some of that and just sort of dive into some snippets.
Yeah. And this, so we discovered this book. It's called The Creative Act by Rick Rubin. Mm-hmm. And there's a link in the description if you want to check it out to it on Amazon. We really need to get the hardcover. I have the audiobook. Tom has the Kindle version. The audiobook is actually really good, but the problem with the audiobook is like everything is a highlight, and I'm in the car listening to this, and like I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do with this information? So I pull out voice memos and I try to like record my reflection on it. It's a really, I don't even know how to describe it.
It's not a long book. It's like, in terms of, it's not a short book, but it's not a long book. It's an easy to read book. But if you sit there and actually pay attention, every page is like dense with things to think about. And so it's kind of become one of those things where it's like, let's just highlight what's not important, because the whole book is
the whole thing is
becoming like highlights and snippets. But it's been really cool just to take these thoughts and apply them to our lives, both in and out of like the YouTube world over the past, I don't know, 4 months.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think both Tom and I this summer went through a, you know, kind of just like a
YouTube puberty.
Reevaluation is how I would say it, of what we create, why we create, you know, what is the impact of the stuff that we are creating. And just like, you know, I think really coming down to the why we do what we do. And of course, I think every content creator, every YouTube creator, you know, podcast creator, whatever, anyone who creates, especially digital content, understands the fast pacedness of this world we have chosen to create in. And, you know, I think our industry is so analytic focused, more so than I would say any other of the traditional ones. We have stats on everything, and we can really get into the weeds and the process and the, you know, the numerical side. But when we were kind of reevaluating why we do what we do, this book really helped me to like look at, okay, yes, I like making videos for all of the reasons, but the same way that the turtles get called to the sea and they don't know why is the same compulsion I feel when I'm like, I would need to create something. You can ask me why all day. I can come up with reasons all day, but like I'm just am doing it before I can even think about it. It's not something like, should I? Of course, like I can, the self-doubt is the should I voice, you know, but you know, there's always been a part of me that's always been creating. And I think acknowledging that side and realizing like, okay, the platform and the medium I choose to create on is YouTube kind of gives the YouTube video side a little bit more gravity.
Yeah.
A little bit more, you know, it takes away the jadedness that I feel like you know, after what, 6 years of doing this, I think I was like really feeling it. Mm-hmm. I don't even think it was burnout. It's just like,
it was what we talked about last week, like we had talked about people do YouTube long enough, you have to sort of evolve and transform several times.
To get to the next
this
level.
This has sort of been our first time after 6 or 7 years having to do that and having to figure that out.
Yeah. Anyone who plays RPGs will understand this, but like hitting something like level 50 is like a big milestone. Usually when you hit level 50 in an RPG, you get like some special thing, like a mount, or like you can access this other part of the map now. Like it's like a big deal. I feel like that's kind of that was kind of what we were doing this summer, right, and like reevaluating everything.
Especially on a platform that changes so much.
All the time.
In a world that changes so much. And yeah, it's a little bit intense there. So that's what we're going to dive in and talk about.
So do you want to dig into?
Sure. I mean, this is relatively random, so I guess we won't go through all of these because I literally have 100.
And I wish I had quotes to share, but all mine are audiobook. Like, I can't pull it up.
Okay. Here's an example. So this is the first one I had highlighted. This is from page 7 in the book. So this is like literally as soon as you get started past like the intro and stuff. It says, if you have an idea you're excited about and you don't bring it to life, it's not uncommon for the idea to find its voice through another maker. This isn't because the other artist stole your idea, but because that idea's time has come.
Oh, there you go. Ding. You got to hit the sound bath.
Oh, boy.
What do you think about that? Ooh, look at my hair.
I mean, that's sort of like the, what is it called? Parallel thought, parallel thinking. Like, sometimes there's just a thing that pops up. And I think in the world of YouTube, how common is it to make something like, oh, somebody else already made this. I have this idea and someone else made it or whatever. And it's like,
well, see, that's what I was going to ask you. And I was going to ask everybody else. Like, when, I think all of us have a handful of ideas that we can take action on at any time. Let's say we all have like 5 to 10 ideas. What makes you choose one over the other? What makes you keep dismissing one that may have been on that list for a while?
Well, what's interesting too is like Rick Rubin, who wrote this book, is a very famous music producer. Like he's and the music, a lot of music is more like System of a Down. Like it's it's, you know, heavier, more intense kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he's been around for decades. And so it's kind of interesting knowing that a lot of his approach has been from like a music artist perspective and how it applies to other art forms as well. So like, you know, if you think of an idea musically coming across from one artist to another, but it's the same thing in like the world of YouTube, same thing, deciphering your own ideas. Like, it, you know, sometimes I found that you have your idea and if you hold on to it, it ends up being better because it's like it connects to something else that happens down the line. You're like, oh my gosh, my XL1 video that I did this summer about the Canon XL1. I wanted to make that video 2 years ago and I just kept putting it off. But I was so glad that I waited because making it now, just because of things I had learned and things I was able to do with the video, it was so much better than it could have been 2 years ago.
Yeah. And I think like I can hear in my head, just like, especially the first couple years of doing YouTube, it was just like, don't hesitate on an idea, just go, because you'll just move on to the next video. But I like this approach of like, it's not, you know, you, of course you can get stuck in analysis paralysis. I think that's different. But when like, I feel like ideas will feel more ready than others. And if it's like coming easy, then just go for that one versus one that's like, you know, it's kind of like pulling teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the next one. This is from a chapter called The Vessel and the Filter. As artists, we seek to restore our childlike perceptions, a more innocent state of wonder and appreciation, not tethered to utility or survival. So think about, oh, I'm going to be a full-time YouTuber now. The thing I love is how we pay the bills. Uh-oh.
It's hard because it's like for so many people, it is, if, you know, if not the full-time income, you know, it's a side hustle or, you know, it's a significant contribution to the household income, or is a plan to become that if it isn't already. So, yeah, it's hard.
Right.
And I think that's the difference between me doing YouTube now. Well, actually, let me ask you this. Okay, so for me, it's different. I'm able to draw the line because before...
It's just neighbors.
Before, like I say, first half of YouTube, I was definitely approaching this like, yes, I want to grow this. That's, you know, I don't know what my final version of my business is going to be. So everything is potential income. And so I approached it with that same pressure of like, you know, I know in the back of my head that this is a potential like business development thing.
Right.
Now it's like, yes, I acknowledge that, but also it's not my main source of income right now. So like it's purely out of, I don't know, joy, compulsion. Yeah. You, on the other hand, it's flipped the other way.
Right.
So your first, you know, couple years, you were like, I'm not monetizing at all.
Yeah. I hate money.
I refuse to turn on ads. Like, I'm not going to, you know.
Maybe went too far in the other direction.
Hard line in the sand, not going to monetize. And now it is purely monetized.
No, well, that's not true. It's not like done purely for monetary gain.
Yeah, of course. I know that. Yeah. Everyone here knows that. But.
But the monetization is an important part of it.
Your YouTube videos make money.
Yes.
Every single one of them.
Some more than others, but yeah.
So how is that? I don't know.
It's really hard. Okay. Is the answer. Yeah, it is really hard. And the thing that I liked about that thing was it talked about childlike stuff. And that's when I think back to the channel growing and initially like accidentally starting to make money and earn revenue. I wasn't trying. I was just doing my own thing and experimenting and like playing in my own little sandbox here. And it started working in some way that I couldn't have predicted or couldn't have forced to happen. And then of course that happens and you start to go, what did I do? Like, I need to replicate that or whatever, versus just going like, wow, when I was just trusting my gut and doing my thing, it worked. And it sort of feels wrong to keep doing that because it's so not like scientific and not quantitative or anything, but I think that it is the best way to do it. And that's why I like the idea of like childlike stuff, because when a kid is doing something, kid is learning something, it's just the sense of wonder. I was telling you the other day, my best friend growing up, we made, you know, movies every weekend. Every time we hung out, we made, you know, 50 75 movies or something in a year or two. Like, they're always some terrible, they're basically what I realize are now plots to modern Steven Seagal movies, the same maturity as us at 11-year-olds or whatever. It's like, FBI agent, this thing, this is going to happen. Oh, there's a bomb or whatever. We didn't think of who's going to watch these.
Yeah.
This was obviously pre-YouTube. These are on 8mm and VHS tapes. We would sometimes like force our parents to watch them, you know, like if I was staying at his house and then my mom came to pick me up, it's like, well, before we go, you gotta watch the movie we made. But that's it. So that's the only people who would ever see it. And that thought never occurred to us while we were spending hours making these things and building props and like, you know, trying to edit them together on VCRs. It didn't even occur to us, which sounds sort of dumb, but it's like, it was for the joy of it. And we made mistakes and we'd fail. And when you watch a kid learn something, they mess up all the time. And then they just keep going, or they just figure out like, if it works, it works, you know, like, yeah. And that's something that's so easy to lose as you get older.
Right.
And
do this longer.
Well, and then, you know, stuff like needing to pay the bills, survival comes into play. And then you do become, you know, skilled in certain areas. As adults, we tend to play to our strengths more than putting ourselves in a situation of learning something new or being a beginner again. And I think that can limit us because we want to be viewed as competent and professional. And, you know, especially as you get older, it's like, what, you're almost 40 and you can't do this thing? Like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Starting this thing?
Yeah, that's scary, but it's also not something to be scared of.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Roy, Tech Troublemaker, is saying hi from Ecamm Creator Camp. Hello. Yay. Hi.
I know, you're all in that charming, charming New England town.
It's so fun to see all you guys in the same frame. I'm watching everyone's stories. It's really cool. Congrats Racing Club in the house. Bailey, Tom, I remember a while ago you were learning Blender. How did you get started learning?
I just did the donut tutorial. If you try to learn Blender,
it's one of the most popular things.
The most essential. It's like the hello world of Blender is the donut tutorial. But it's because it's basic shapes, but it's different layers and textures and lighting and all that stuff. And it's, you know, it's a donut. You're not trying to make a human face realistic or anything. But you learn a lot. Like the donut, you can't just take a ring and then paint the top of it pink. Like, how do you actually make a layer of icing that looks like icing is coming off of a cake? you know, donut. Yeah. And then what is the texture? What should the drips be like? How do you put the sprinkles on it? Are they just all sitting on top? Or some of them kind of buried into the icing? Does the icing look like it has sugar crystals in? You know, it's really, you know, and it's step by step, piece by piece. And it's really, really cool. I haven't done much more with Blender since then. Just 3D stuff. It just hurts my brain so much. But yeah.
Drew's asking, do you still have these old movies?
I do. And I've been working towards digitizing them forever. And I've thought about, like, every once in a while, I put little clips here and there into videos when it's relevant. But they're so embarrassing. We should do, like, a
members only.
Yeah. Well, it's also, like, party. I'm fine showing my dorky 12-year-old self, but I don't know about, like, my, you know, my best friend who's now, you know, a working professional. Like, I don't know. Should I just show this without his... He wouldn't care, but yeah. Chris said, cool sweatshirt, Tom. Cool Thank sweatshirt. You. This it's is a limited really... edition because this is our... Heather's wearing the appropriate colors of our American Hockey League team, the Firebirds. And I'm wearing the logo, but it's in the NHL colors of the Kraken because our team feeds into the Kraken. And graphic design creativity, I really like this. If you notice on Heather's thing here...
This is Tom.
There's a little ring of this ice blue color, which happens to be the same color as my sweatshirt here. The eye on her Firebird is also that same blue. And then normally this would be the Seattle S, but the eye is red on the S and it's the same red as that. And then there's a red stripe normally that's the same red. So I love how, like, they're totally different, but they tie in together.
They're like flipped.
I love that someone took the time to think about that and, like, make it a cohesive thing. I always appreciate when I call it burning extra calories. Like, someone had to burn some extra calories to do this. And it might not even be something that's super noticeable, but it really is appreciated.
Yeah.
Talk about creativity. That's the kind of thing. Like,
well, that reminds me of the video game we played this weekend.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, talk about creativity.
Telling lies.
Yeah, okay, so there's this video game that you can actually play because it's on Steam. It's called Telling Lies, and it is unlike anything we have... I have been a video gamer since I could hold a controller. It is nothing like I've ever played ever. I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah, it's real footage, so it's almost like...
Yeah, it's real life footage, like people acting.
It's almost like you have scenes from a movie, but it's like a puzzle. Like, they're all out of order, and you're trying to reconstruct what happens. And...
You're like an investigator who has to... You have, like, an external hard drive, basically. You have someone's hard drive, and you have to, like, figure out what the heck happened. But you don't even know what happened. All these
video clips, like, and you can, like... You kind of have to search up keywords, so, you know, if someone says something, like... I don't know. You're trying to... Oh, and it's different sides of a conversation. So that a lot of it is all,
so,
like...
So it's like FaceTime.
It's basically like, the government had been collecting, like, FaceTime calls on, like, these suspicious people or something. And so you have one side of each conversation. And so you'll see Heather saying, like, well, why would you do that? And then she just kind of sits there for a while and reacts to something. And you're trying to figure out, okay, how do we find the other half of that conversation?
Yeah, like, who is she talking to and what are they saying in between?
Yeah, and some of it is completely, like, pointless, and some of it is incredibly important, and sometimes you don't know, sometimes they're both, so you have to, like, filter through. It's a really fun game to play with other people. I don't know that it'd be... I mean, you can play it by yourself, but it's really fun to have, like, a little group where you can work together and...
But that was an example of something that I, you know, a media thing that I consumed recently that was like, I felt the extra calories because it's totally unlike anything I've ever.
We were trying to figure out the way the actors are when you're watching their one-sided video. We're trying to figure out, like, how are they, like, reacting to what someone is saying? And some of them are like little kids and stuff. And so we found behind the scenes things on it. And it was this whole method that they developed for the game, like, as they were filming it, where they took a lot of, like, either small cameras, sometimes even GoPros that were, like, rigged up with lights and stuff, because it's supposed to look like someone holding their phone on, like, a FaceTime call. So the actors are holding the cameras and they are actually communicating in real time. So they had to find all these sets and locations that were, if they needed someone to be at home and someone in an office, they had to find, like, an apartment place and an office building that were close enough together that they could run physical wires to, like, these locations. So they were actually acting with each other, even though they were in separate locations. And then they were just taking the footage and like combining it in with like a mixer or whatever.
It's just funny because it reminds me of like how, you know, there's been so many video games that have been made, so many. And if someone pitched this idea, I think most people would be like, you want to do that? There's no, where's the action? Where's the,
yeah, there's no fighting
health,
there's no
bar. Yeah, there's like nothing. It's bizarre, but I think like trying something new and doing something experimental is like, I don't know, I think people will appreciate it.
I think so, for sure.
Yeah.
I also lost my highlight.
He lost.
Oh, I found, oh, I lost him. Wait, I found him. I didn't even, I've had the Kindle for like 10 years and I barely learned, like, I learned, I knew about the highlighting feature, but I always went into like this, the I didn't know you could look at best, it this way. By the way. Yes, Kindle's like one of my all-time favorite devices ever. Let's see here. Oh, wait. Here we go.
All right, go ahead.
This is a little out there, but especially with how I was feeling. I think I read this when I was taking my couple weeks off earlier this summer. It says...
Well, actually, before you go, how were you feeling? So paint the picture. How were you feeling?
Overwhelmed. and I was really... The biggest thing I felt was I was in like the passenger seat of the stuff I was creating. I felt like...
On YouTube.
Yeah, I felt like it was hard for me to really understand or not even just do what I wanted to do, but even understand what that is. Like, you know, it's easy to say, just do what you want to do if you know what it is. But when you're like, wait, like, yeah, what is it? And I'm, you know, there's all this stuff. So this says, it's helpful to turn those voices down so you can hear the chimes of the cosmic clock ring, reminding you it's time, your time to participate.
Oh, show up. I like it.
But I like the idea of turning down voices and listening to, like,
I know,
whatever the thing is, okay, the internal thing.
I told Tom this morning when we were on our walk. I'll tell you guys right now. So, you know, I got back into vlogging and it's been so fun. Like, let me tell you, it's just been so fun. But I had insomnia this week and I had like a lot of fatigue, so I couldn't. You know, I can feel the, all right, physically I won't be able to show up today, and that's okay. It's not like I'm quitting or anything. I just, you know, I just can't do it today, and that's cool. Yesterday, though, I had such a busy day. I wasn't going to be home for most of the day, and I was like, this is a perfect thing to document and make a vlog out. I even, on my Instagram story, I was like recording a time lapse, and I shared that and everything. And then halfway through the day, I literally told myself, like, you know what? I think the rest of this day is going to be pretty boring, so forget it. And I stopped mid-vlog. I stopped. I had recorded the morning. We went ice skating that morning. I had things were happening, and I can hear it in my head. Oh, this is going to be boring, so I'll stop. And it's like I listened to the voice.
Right.
You know, and I'm looking back, I'm like, I should have just kept going. Like, why? This is just stupid. Because it's not about whether it's boring or not. Like, who, that voice that's telling me it's boring is like just self-doubt. You need to sit down, bro, because you were here all summer and it's my turn, you know? But yeah, it just reminds you of that, of like, I don't know, what was it, the cosmic clock is calling or whatever?
Yeah, it's your time to participate.
It doesn't matter. I realize that. You know, it's not whether the thing that I'm going to make is going to be Academy Award winning. It's just that I just want to because I want to.
Yeah.
But if I get into the weeds of like, is it, you know, it's like
self-doubt.
I'm already criticizing before I've even made anything.
Yeah. Well, and you've been watching like a lot of old Casey Neistat vlogs.
Yes.
And we were talking about that a lot of our favorite ones are the quote-unquote boring ones, especially the early ones, because that's, you know, he was figuring out what he's doing. They're very not glamorous. It's like, here I am at the office, I'm doing this. Okay,
they're literally so boring.
I'm now, he's like at his apartment, okay, he's like buying a juice, he's back. A lot of them are just in his apartment or his office in New York.
I'm going to the gym now, okay, cool, going to work now.
We
okay,
both agree, cool. Those are some of our all-time favorite ones.
Yes, and I think it's because it's just pre-Casey like glam. You know, before
it's fun
the
to
fame.
Watch like the airline seats and the crazy travel and all that. Like those are fun videos, but there's something about like seeing somebody, how somebody operates in their day-to-day existence that is especially when they can, you know,
make it look
make it interesting. Yeah. They can make anything interesting.
Yeah.
Like he can. Yeah. It's really fun.
I know. And that's why I'm saying it here, and I told you I'm not going to let whether the day is boring or not be a reason why I stop, because it doesn't.
That's the number one reason.
That freaking critic is not going to watch it, because the one who's going to watch it is going to be the editor, who's going to be super into it.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyway, sorry, cut you off. Go.
That's what people always say. Like, I want to start a YouTube channel, but I'm too boring. My life's too boring. My world. And it's like
well, okay, we can all say that about everything. Like, he's boring. I'm boring. We're all boring. All right, cool. No, nothing happens then.
There was a thing, my channel's not about me, it's about, a topic, so it's not, a vlog channel.
It's about you.
I mean,
I see what you're saying,
though. Yeah, but it's different than, here's my the life. Topic of the videos isn't my day, it's, you know, a different subject. But it's funny, because, you know, a lot of times, I'll film stuff or test stuff, just outside. And we live in Southern California, and even though we're in the desert, there's palm trees everywhere. And I started noticing, when I started filming more and more stuff outside, people would be like, whoa, cool palm tree. And I was like, oh yeah, they're nice.
Oh yeah, this
and then
is
I realized
thing.
Yeah, okay,
yeah, that's not something people see every day.
The same way when I see somebody in a snowy mountain thing with pine trees, I'm like, wow, that looks so cool. Or I see a Peter Lindgren video where he's in this Swedish forest
backyard,
and the trees are all perfectly straight and green, and there's moss on the ground. It blows my mind. And he's like, that's what I drive by on the way to the office. So, you know, the things that are normal to us are interesting and extraordinary to people who aren't us.
But it also doesn't matter.
But it also, I mean,
yeah,
you're right.
Yes. But also, that's part of it, right? Just capturing that. If I think okay, it's a book and I'm putting pages in it, that's part of the world, right? And I don't want to stop myself before I've even tried, because whatever the reason is, unless it's physical, you know, I'm not feeling good, fine. But I don't want, it's, you know, do you have that? Let me ask you that. Do you have that? The self-doubt that
if I'm awake, I'm doubting myself. That's.
Yeah, I know. But you have such a, you know, system that
you fake it till you make it.
Well, let me tell you this. As your wife who lives with you, I have heard you say, I'm going to make a video today, and you've made a video that day 99.9% of the time.
Right.
So, obviously, you don't let guilt stop you.
That's a thing.
You got a little schmuckus here.
Thank you. That's a thing that, that's something I worked really hard to do. I consciously worked to develop, especially in, my 20s and during college, was, stick-to-itiveness and, grit and follow through. I say I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. Yeah, and especially when it's okay, you know, I need to dive into, I don't know, a teaching credential program, a master's program or something, and work a job or two, and this is going to really suck, and I'm not going to be able, literally knowing, I will not be doing anything fun or social for a year or more, at least, and just
I know,
okay.
You're so good about that.
Well, I mean, it's not easy.
Not me.
It's not easy, but
this is a full-time student, part-time job, no life, commuting.
The powering through that kind of stuff, almost to a fault, because I think you can do it too much, where now it's like, why are you doing this to yourself? You don't have to do this, which is something you've helped me figure out over the years. But yeah, that's something where it's like, okay, I try not to put the pressure if I am supposed to make a video on a day and I really am not feeling well, or I don't feel up to it. I try not to put too much pressure on myself to do it, because sometimes, especially when you have to be on camera and performing, that's going to come through and it's actually going to hurt the thing you're trying to make.
You can totally see it. Yeah.
Yeah. But trying to, when it's just sort of laziness or I'm kind of tired or whatever, then it's that's what I'm doing today. I'm powering through, I'm sticking to it. I really have been trying to look at it like a job. Like, this is, you know, when I would go to school in the morning, it's like, yeah, I'm really tired, I don't want to teach first period right now, but that bell is going to ring and those 45 students are going to come through the door and I'm going to have to do something with them for 90 minutes. So what is that going to be? It's going to happen, and it's relentless.
Right.
But that's also good practice, and that I guess the whole point to emphasize there is that's not something that came naturally. That's something that was consciously developed over time.
You worked on it.
Yes.
Nick says, being grateful for that keeps me motivated even when I'm not feeling creative.
Yeah. And that's... It sometimes feels, you know, when it's like, oh, you should just be grateful for what you got. And it's like, yeah, but that's minimizing the feelings that I'm having right now. But at the same time, like, being really grateful for... Oh, man, there's just so much to be grateful for.
I know. We think back to what we...
And it does, and it does help go like, man, I, not that long ago, I would have just like crawled over broken glass to have the opportunity to do what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And yeah, now I'm waking up and I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I don't, you know, like, come on. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah. See, so I should finish the video, dude. I should have finished the video.
You still can. You still got that footage. I like this one.
Okay,
this is a good one. This is on a chapter about self-doubt.
Ooh, tell me.
Yes. Adversity is part of the process. We are not obligated to follow this calling because we have a talent or skill. We are not obligated to follow this calling because we have a talent or skill. It's worth remembering that we are blessed to get to create. It's a privilege. We're choosing it. We're not being ordered to do this. If we'd rather not do it, let's not do it.
Yeah.
And I like that. If we'd rather not, let's not. Because it's... There's a thing, and I kind of know where he was coming from with it, but my dad got obsessed with this idea when I was little that I was smart.
You are, though. What are you talking about?
I mean, I'm talking, like, when I was, like, you know, third grade, or even, like, younger than that, he sort of got obsessed
like
with the
genius?
Idea that I was... Like, yeah, like, really smart...
Like,
my dad was an interesting guy.
Yeah, he was.
And he went through some phases. At one point, he told me that he had dreams that he thought were real, that aliens were coming into my room at night and like making me smarter.
Downloading like yeah. info into your brain.
Maybe. I don't know. But
we shared the same bed for a couple of years now. I haven't seen any.
It hasn't happened yet. Yeah, no. Well, this might be why it was. He sometimes would say, like, when you have these gifts, they are like they're blessings that you have, and if you don't use them, they get taken away. And that was sort of a scary thing because it made me feel like anytime I like it, but also it makes you feel kind of an obligation,
right?
You know,
it's
where
rusting.
It's like,
you're rusting.
Yeah, we're. But what if I? What if just because I can doesn't mean I should?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And it might not be the right thing at all times, and it was kind of a lot of pressure. And I feel like that's what he's addressing here in this quote is just because we have a talent or skill, we're not obligated to follow this calling, because there's more to it than that. It's like, you know, it's sort of that thing. Sometimes you're building a YouTube channel, you don't really know, like this happened with me early on. I was making videos about everything. A lot of 3D printing videos started doing those are my first videos that like did well.
Yes.
Got more than 100 views,
Let me
thousands
tell you,
of views.
It would have taken one little thing for Tom's channel to look completely different.
To be a 3D printing channel.
Yeah. Totally
and
different.
There's a number of awesome 3D printing channels out there that
and
had.
It would, if I feel like, oh my God, the YouTube like consultant in me was like double down.
Yeah,
on this
I mean, and
because it was blowing up like crazy.
Well, the 3D printing channels that were blowing up they're still like nearing a million subscribers. Like they're quite large channels that have been going around for a long time. So obviously, it wasn't a flash in the pan kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I really like 3D printing stuff. That's why I made videos about it. But I was, you know. Sure, people like 3D printing. I'll make more videos. My channel didn't have an identity yet, so it was kind of like...
Could be this, could be that.
Let's make a video about whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where I was like, wow, it seems like maybe I should just be making 3D printing videos because people seem to like the 3D printing videos I make.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God, I don't know anything else about 3D printing. Like, I ran out.
I remember
that.
Yeah. He did five ideas, did them all, and it was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, and so it was going to be... Either me dedicating a lot of time to learning this, which could be an interesting channel, like, hey, let's learn 3D printing together. Or it was going to be like the grind of like, let's get and review every new 3D printer.
Yeah.
And I was just not interested in that. And so it was like, okay, I guess I'll go back to making videos that are not going to be doing nearly as well. but I can make a lot of them.
You can go on
all day. And so it was like, you're okay, still going. Just because I could do this thing and it seems to be doing well, it doesn't feel like the thing that I should be doing right now, because it's not what's right for me in the long run.
Yeah.
And that's
sometimes it feels wrong, but
yeah, that was like a hard decision. Sorry, my watch is beeping like crazy. I don't know what's going on over here. Oh, okay. I don't know if it was something important. I always get, when I get a lot of like notifications while we're streaming.
No, of course.
Sometimes
emergency.
Well, it's either emergency or sometimes, you know, friends will text me and be like, oh my God, here's a crazy problem with the stream, but I don't want to put it publicly in the chat or whatever. And I'm worried that
Nick, I missed the first part of your comment.
Ah.
I don't see it. So sorry.
It's probably talking about like our comment before.
Yeah. I just used AI voice generator for my latest video. Have you guys messed with AI at all?
I wanted to do that thing on iOS 17 where you can like do your AI voice, but you have to take your phone into a quiet room and just like read these sentences it gives you for like 30 minutes.
Oh my God, this should so be a video on your channel. 1000%.
I mean,
talk about the creative act.
I feel like that would be a second channel because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just sort of like, what's it do?
That's the, like, you're going on a journey. Take us on the journey. Everyone is going to want to hear how it turns out. You have a very distinct voice. Is it going to be able to come up with puns?
No, I mean, it's not that kind of AI. It's sort of...
Oh, it just reads what you say?
It's an accessibility feature. So you record your voice and then you you can play back text in
like
your
notes.
Voice. You can give your, so if you lose your voice or something, you can you can do that. So I mean, I don't know, imagine you were having a surgery and have your jaw wired shut for 4 months or something. It's like, well, you still have my voice here. I don't know how well it works.
I think you should try it.
I do want to try it, but yeah, that's
hey Melanie,
that's that. Hello.
Hello. We'll keep going.
Let's see here, let me find.
I'm liking this. I feel like this is, do you remember Heather's Happy Hour?
I do remember Heather's Happy
Hour.
It's
funny because
I was an avid viewer.
You were.
Yeah. Well, when I, you know, you were on episode like 150 or something.
Was I really?
I don't know. You had been doing it for a long time when we met.
Well, that's funny.
Every Wednesday, Heather had a live stream on her channel.
I don't even know what I did. Anyway.
It was just hang out, talk.
Yeah. I feel like this is a happy hour, like, you know, I have a glass of wine, you have a Coke Zero, and we just get into this, you know?
I mean, that is what we do. And let me tell you, Heather gets into it after two glasses of wine, she'll start really getting into it. This one's funny. This next one... I don't think there's discussion to be had. It just makes me laugh that I highlighted it because it's sort of like there's nothing else to say about it.
Okay, go.
If you see tremendous beauty or tremendous pain where other people see little or nothing at all, you're confronted with big feelings all the time. These emotions can be confusing and overwhelming. It's like, yes, they are. That's it.
So is that everyone here or is that just us?
I remember we did that ages ago.
Do we all have that in common?
Highly sensitive personality test.
So just read it one more time, just in case. I'm curious. Like, is this like a creative thing?
If you see tremendous beauty or tremendous pain where other people see little or nothing at all, you're confronted with big feelings all the time. These emotions can be confusing and overwhelming. I don't know what the rest of
I'm curious what the rest was.
But that's...
actually, you can hit it.
I could hit it and quit it.
No.
Delete it.
Go to the highlight. Yeah.
There we go. When those around you don't see what you see and feel, when those around you don't see what you see and feel what you feel, this can lead to a sense of isolation and a general feeling of not belonging, of otherness. These charged emotions, powerful when expressed in the work, are the same dark clouds that beg to be numbed to allow sleep or to get out of bed and face the day in the morning. It's a blessing and a curse. Okay. That was actually.
Yeah.
That was a lot there.
There's a lot. That's deep. That's me.
Deep
last
like the
night.
Ocean.
Yeah.
My notes and highlights are loading. There we go. Let's see here. What does this one say? We're not playing to win. We're playing to play.
That's probably my favorite
Preach.
One you've read so far.
Yeah, exactly. I like the idea of play.
Right. Right? Like, aren't we supposed to, we're doing it for fun? Like, every, of course we want to take it seriously. Of course we want it to grow. But, like, first and foremost, we're doing it because it's fun, right?
Right.
Like, we could do a lot of other things, too, that are, you know, I don't know. Like, I can go back and get a job and be fun. Really good at it. And, you know, not that it wouldn't be fun. I'm sure I could find, like, a fun one. I would not get a fun one. I just wouldn't. So, but I feel like it, you know, I think it goes back to, if you're having a lot of fun, I mean, you just did a collab with, okay, first of all, Tom just did a collab with ConvertKit and Mighty.
That's right.
And I think that's really cool. And I'm very proud of you because it's crazy that you're working with both those companies to be able to do, to like be the it's face mighty cool. on their channels. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I forgot why I brought that up.
Planning to play. Cool jobs.
I totally forgot what my point was. Yeah, it's gone.
I don't know. Well, what's cool about those is, and you know, you've worked with Mighty and stuff too, more than me. Like I work with them through you. So like, but what's cool is they want us to be us. Like the ConvertKit thing was like, yeah, you know, like throw in some jokes, do this, like, you know, like talk about this. They weren't like, you know, it has to be this, here's your script, here's that. It's like, we want to know your thoughts about this topic right here. In this case, it was like building an online community.
I just like that.
It was like the thing that had been developed through play became the thing that they actually wanted.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Is like, you know, I think back to all the times I could have questioned myself and second guessed myself. And if I had stopped, we wouldn't have met.
Right.
What an insane thought, you know? So it's like, or that collab wouldn't have happened. Like, there's so many this would be happening if I had listened to that voice.
Right.
And so, I don't know. It is.
I mean, you've talked about that a bunch of times. The video that I left my first comment on had, like, at the time, under 200 views or something.
Not even. It was, like, barely at 100.
Yeah, so by all YouTube coaching logic, like, don't make that video.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it was a very important video to make, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think, like, going back to that, like, okay, I don't know, creative people feel things differently, feel different emotions. It's like you might feel the compulsion to create something and you might not know why, but it also could be like your gut just telling you, like, based on all the background things that have been running and all your experiences that maybe you can't consciously pin as to why, like, you know, just play to play.
Right. Don't pay to play, pay play to play. I'm curious, as I'm reading all these things off the Kindle, I'm curious what people's thoughts here are on Kindles, because I know the physical book versus ebook debate rages on. I have been a Kindle advocate.
Oh, no, yeah, Kindle.
For ages.
I was a physical book advocate.
Just until recently.
Until July.
I have been telling Heather since we met, like, yeah. Well, no, it was something, I forget, for some reason you were like, because I had gotten this, I had an older Kindle. They last forever, so it still worked. But I had gotten this one a couple years ago. And you were like, oh, can I just try your old Kindle? And you really liked it, but it didn't have physical buttons. And so I bought you the one that has the physical. Because I saw her like falling asleep all the time. And then her hand would hit it and the page would turn. Yeah. I was like, you need the clicky buttons.
I need clicky buttons.
But I'm really curious because for me, it was, I was an English major, and like, I think we talked about it on here, but the joke was Tom's English major who hates to read, even though just because I wasn't reading like literature, I was reading all the time, but it was, you know, message boards and like articles, and it wasn't books great American different. Works or whatever. Books are different, but I'm still reading, getting ideas, thinking critically, analyzing, all that stuff.
I know.
But when I got the Kindle, that's when I could read because, I mean, the books are all there, obviously. Like, you don't need to carry a physical book. You can have all your books with you all the time. And there's a built-in dictionary. That was the thing that did it for me, was being able to highlight stuff and look up words instantly, because I was realizing how much I was missing from not understanding every word and trying to figure out like context clues and all that kind of stuff. And it really reignited my like love of reading.
Ignite.
Yeah, I didn't do that on purpose.
Michael H says, a book doesn't run out of batteries, crash from a bug, or be lost if the cover breaks.
That's true, but the Kindle battery does last like a month or two. Like,
well, I was,
except for hers, yeah, she blasts through that in a day.
Because I was reading so, I was going through books like one book every 3 days. Like I was reading.
Yeah, I haven't charged mine in a couple weeks, and it's at 85%.
I had to charge like daily.
So that's, I mean,
but like every other day.
And now they're more, they're like water resistant and stuff, which is really cool. I haven't had any bugs in my Kindles.
Like I like to read multiple books at the same time,
flipping between them, especially if you're traveling. Oh my god,
just because it's like it depends on the mood, you know.
Yeah,
like sometimes I just need a fiction, sometimes I need like a mystery, sometimes I need like, okay, yeah, let's do a, you know, a business book or whatever.
And Michael said, but I love audiobooks when it's the author reading it. I did. Same. Well, okay. Was on the page of like, it needs to be the author because the author knows.
But go listen to Project Hail Mary.
Or the entire Expanse
series.
When there's a really good reader.
Jefferson Mays.
Yeah. It really does make the story. The
Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, like that whole series. Forgot that guy's name. Really good.
The not audiobook. The author.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes, but.
Ender's Game. Sorry, I can go on and on.
I think I would feel weird listening to a nonfiction book not read by the author. I feel like...
A nonfiction. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like nonfiction really... Fiction's a little different because you have different voices and you have like...
Can't Hurt Me. David Goggins.
But he's the author. He read it.
He didn't.
That wasn't him reading it?
No. He had his buddy come in and they did like the discussions in between chapters.
Oh, so wait, he was on right.
it. Yeah. But like he...
Oh my god, that's weird.
He was like, I acknowledge that this is not my forte, and so I'm going to get someone who is good at reading audiobooks. That's like
re-kajiggering my whole perception of things right now.
But, no, I get it, yeah. Like, Abroad in Japan is one of our favorite YouTube channels, just came out with his book, and he just, I don't know, last week the audiobook came out, so I got to add that one.
I feel like...
But it's got to be in his voice.
I always think of the recording of an audiobook as just like...
A nightmare.
What a long process.
I heard everyone... Like, everything I've ever heard from someone who's talked about the experience is like, it hurts so bad.
Yeah.
Because you're... Especially,
I think of the fiction readers who do different voices and things, and you have to kind of remember what the characters sound like throughout, and you're recording over multiple days and everything. You don't want every time like something shifts, you can kind of tell in the recording that like it's a different day or the room tone is different or whatever.
It's never like, I'm not going to listen to this anymore.
No. I mean, especially, you know, like the Expanse books, which are like, you know, the books themselves are this thick and there's 9 of them. And throughout some of the audiobooks, you can kind of hear tonal changes from chapter to chapter every so often. It's like, it's fine.
Nonfictions are great, but Neil Gaiman?
Gaiman.
Gaiman. Reading his books is chilling. Who's that?
I don't... The name is... Why do I not know this?
Should I know?
I feel like we should all know.
Tell me more, Michael H.
Yeah, I'm not going to look it up. Michael, you tell us.
Tell us. Who is this and what should we read?
It's going to be...
I think I have like 24 books on my wish list.
That's great.
I know, but it's like... Oh, it's a lot. And every time I add another one, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I'm going to see as we wrap up our discussion here, I'm going to see if I can find one last one.
I wish I can share one. I'm so sad.
I know. I'm sorry you couldn't have.
Oh, shoot. My story from my Instagram didn't upload, which is like us talking about getting ready for the couples table.
Ah. Okay, well, here I have two that I want to share.
Okay.
This one. Okay, he said, horror sci-fi.
Horror sci-fi.
Okay. Here's one that I just stumbled across this one. If the artist is happy with the work they're creating and the viewer is enlivened by the work they're experiencing, it doesn't matter if they see it in the same way.
Yeah.
So that's an idea of intent.
Okay. Can you go to the chapter? Can I tell you to go to a chapter?
Well, there's one. Oi. There's so many. There's
I know.
So many.
See, this ones. Is why. This I'm is gonna, the one I'm
gonna,
time.
I'm going to lightning round it. We don't have to discuss all of these, but before I leave all this and go to the one you want.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just going to share a couple of my like favorite ones. If you have an imperfect version of a work you really love, you may find that when it finally seems perfect, you don't love it in the same way. This is a sign the imperfect version was actually the one. The work is not about perfection. Instead of the flaw diminishing the work, it becomes a focal point, an area of both physical and aesthetic strength. The scar also tells the story of the piece, chronicling its past experience.
See, I like thinking about YouTube in this way.
Yeah.
I know it's like deep, but I don't know. It's just like, but see, I think that's what it is. It makes the experience of making YouTube videos complex in a meaningful way. It not in a like, I just got to crunch it out of the video, guys. Like, you know, it's just another thing that you just have to do, which like, you know, there, if you're at the point, I think it's a good thing to be at the point where you have a system, you know, you have a procedure and a protocol for how you create your videos, but also like, you know, remembering the wonder and the funness and the,
right,
you know, that part of it.
Here's my last one. I really like this one. The more we pay attention, the more we begin to realize that all the work we ever do is a collaboration. It's a collaboration with the art that's come before you and the art that will come after. It's also a collaboration with the world you're living in, with the experience you've had, the tools you use, and the audience.
There it is.
I really like that.
Okay, go to the chapter, The Gatekeeper.
I will try my best to navigate through this and figure that out. Heather's going to get so frustrated watching me do this.
I'm already like, dude. And Tom's font is like so big.
Look.
Sorry, I know a lot of people here probably have big fonts on their iPhones and Kindles.
I don't think it's that big.
It's not bad. It's not a bad thing. It's just...
Oh, The Gatekeeper. There it is.
It's like you have
I'm not even here
to scroll
yet
so much to get to the thing. Go, actually, go to the chapter before or after.
The chapter after The Gatekeeper?
Yeah.
The thing about this
towards
book
the end.
Too is the chapters are really small.
There.
Is it here?
Yeah. Let me try to find it.
So you just don't lose my actual spot there.
Yes, I won't. You can talk.
Oh, hello. Welcome. Remember, if you're watching the replay, leave a comment using the word ignite. let's see. Is there anything we missed here in our chat? I think we're, oh yeah, right. Nick said, I used to do a thing called Roast MySpace where subs send in photos if you dare. I am not brave enough for that. Although Nick was always quite polite overall. And Drew says, I like big fonts and I cannot lie.
Okay, let me just read this and we'll see where we go. No matter where your ideas come from or what they look like, they all eventually pass through a particular aspect of yourself, the editor and the gatekeeper. Oh, the editor, the gatekeeper. This is who will determine the final expression of the work, regardless of how many selves are involved in its construction. The editor's role is to gather and sift, amplifying what's vital and whittling away the excess, culling the work down to the best version of itself. Sometimes the editor will find holes and send us out to gather data to fill them. Other times, there exists a wealth of information, and the editor will remove what's unneeded to reveal the finished work. Editing is a demonstration of taste. It isn't expressed through pointing to items we like, the music that pleases our ear, or the films we revisit. Our taste is revealed in how our work is curated, what's included, what's not, and how the pieces are put together. You may be drawn to different rhythms, colors, and patterns, though they may not live together harmoniously. The pieces must fit together in the container. The container is the organizing principle of the work. It dictates which elements do and do not belong. The same furniture that suits a palace may not make sense in a monastery. And it just, the whole thing is like really good. But yeah, I really liked this chapter because we all edit. Like we as YouTube creators actually do the editing. And it is
like literally editing.
Yeah, we physically, like that's part of our process. And, you know, it is always tricky when you're married to like 2 minutes that you end up cutting out. And like, how do you cut it out? And like, you know, what's necessary? What's not? What is actually the heart of the work? What's the, you know, if you dial down your video to the essence of what it is, like what is that?
Well, the tricky part too with YouTube stuff is like, I know I really struggled with this a few years ago, was you don't want to waste somebody's time, especially if you're a channel like mine that's more informational.
And we can go into things like watch time and,
well, you know, so it's like I'm just cutting out everything that's non-essential at all. But then what you kind of end up with is something that anybody could make because it's just the...
Right.
It's just the core, like, raw info.
Well, yeah.
Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong. Sometimes that is what people need. But, you know, for me, it was like, that's not what I don't want to just make the thing anyone else could make.
I made a video about the Elgato green screen.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a review on how awesome it is. And I could have just, you know, I mean, every YouTube thing is like, get to the point, capture the attention as fast you can, like get, you know, don't even introduce yourself, like just get straight to it. I put in a whole 30-second cinematic montage that I had Tom film with his, like, super fancy camera equipment because I just wanted it to be ridiculous. And, like, I liked it. It's probably, you know, someone could say, like, oh, that's a waste of time. Just cut straight to the review. But I felt like that's part of the personality.
It's
going to
hurt your AVD, bro.
It's the thing that makes my review unique compared to the other ones, you know?
Right.
So I'm happy it's in there.
That was actually a cool thing too, because the thing you did was, I love this green screen. When I use it, this is how it makes me feel. And it's this like crazy cool montage of you like setting it up. And then it's like, this is what it's actually like. And it's just like this 2-second clip of you with like the natural sound of like the clunky, like opening it up.
Yeah.
But I think that that's actually, yeah, nobody else could do that. And you're also then tapping into the feeling. Like, I like this because of it's not about like, it's made out of this and it's this big and it does this. But it's like, when I use this, I feel this way.
Right.
That is a very hard thing to communicate.
And that's something that people can relate to.
Yeah, and tech specs and an instruction manual and stuff aren't going to convey that.
Right. So there you go.
There you go.
That was a good video.
Yeah. Business Growth Ready says imperfect. In other markets, rustic. Rustic and artisan, which is classed better. I mean,
like true.
The handmade imperfect bowl or whatever versus like...
It's, what's it called? Wabi-sabi.
Wabi-sabi. Wabsobs. Yeah. Michael says, Heather, you convinced my wife that I should buy it for my online lectures.
The green screen? Oh, yeah. I think we talked about this. Well, good.
Yeah. No, it's...
It's awesome.
It's such a great tool. And like, you know, you can hang a sheet or whatever, but the compact.
It's so easy. Like, I can't believe that no one would use that.
I'm looking over here because it's over there. But the like metal thing when it's folded up is kind of big, but you can still lean it up in a closet or put it under a bed. But the beauty of it is when you unfold it, it's perfectly even with no wrinkles. So you don't have to deal with like shadows or like. It's just
it's got legs on it that'll
they solved all of the problems that people have when setting up green screens, especially if you're not like a pro, you know, studio setup person, whatever that job is. Get a grip.
All right, it's time to clear the table. Do you want to close with one? Let's close with the last one.
Oh, I had that.
Did you
the one I read was my last one? Let me see what I can find here. I don't know. This one's good. The thing about this book is literally all of them are good.
You could open up to any page. Yeah. It's all good.
When we miss it, it really does pass us by. Tomorrow presents another opportunity for awareness, but it's never an opportunity for the same awareness.
That's why I should have made the video yesterday. Yeah.
You can never stand in the same river twice because the stream is always moving. Dun, 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 dun. We should use lotion on our hands. They're so dry.
All right. Well, that was fun.
Fun.
Why did you make that face?
Because we said all right at the same time in the same way.
All right. Well, I really liked that. We should have had the sound bath.
Well, if you have any thoughts or anything and you know, watching the replay or you're still here, feel free to leave them in the comments because I feel like it's a fun discussion to have.
Yes.
And don't forget, ignite. Use the word ignite.
Yes. And actually, if you are still listening at this point, if you have any suggestions for books about creativity, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah.
So share.
For sure.
All right.
All righty. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. We hope you have a safe, happy, healthy, fun rest of your week. Thanks for being
Firebirds.
Here. And we will see you next time.
Bye.